we could look out today and look at our own nation and say that we are a nation on the verge of spiritual collapse, that we are committing spiritual suicide. America has lost its sense of what is right and what is wrong.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone. Let's join Pastor Bill for the conclusion to the message, When God Gives Up, as a study from the New Testament epistle of Romans continues.
We know the Bible says in Colossians 3:5 that covetousness is idolatry. The worshiping of something, you desire it more than God. A maliciousness, the desire to hurt people, to injure people, that road rage or whatever. It says full, I love that word in the Greek, it means stuffed. Stuffed with envy. You know, remember that word envy there, Matthew 27:18. Remember Jesus was given over because of the envy of the high priest and the Pharisees. They didn't want anything to do with him. And then it says murder. Dear God. Every day, funeral after funeral after funeral has been on all of the networks of the poor police officers that were ambushed and murdered in the city of Dallas. Or you think about there in Phoenix, the Phoenix sniper that's killing all those people. You think of the racial divide that's now in America again. It's horrible, the things that are occurring. And then when you look over in France at Nice and you see the horrible things that ISIS has done again, it is unbelievable, the murder, the things that are occurring, and it's increasing like never before. Why? Because a full restraint has been released, because when God gives up, that's what happens. Look at this now. Strife, deceit. That word means fish bait, if you will. In other words, where someone baits you to get you in trouble. Evil-mindedness. They are whispers. That means secret slanderers, if you will. Secret gossipers. It says backbiters. That's open gossipers. It says haters of God. Only here in the Bible, right here, only in the New Testament. Haters of God. Not only is it something that it's verbal, but it's a true feeling in their heart. They actually hate God. They're violent, they're proud, they're boasters, they're inventors of evil things. Can you imagine that? Learning new ways to sin. Disobedient to parents, which is a sign of the last days. Undiscerning, the natural man, undiscerning. You can't understand the divine things of God, if you will. It says, untrustworthy, bound by no covenant or promise, unloving, heartless. That means without any love for family, unforgiving, unmerciful. That's heartless, ruthless. Aren't you glad that we have a Savior who's trustworthy and loving and caring and forgiving and merciful? 32, watch this now. Who knowing the righteousness of God, or the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice, that habitual practice, if you will, that habitual lifestyle, those who practice such things are deserving of what? Death. And not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Now listen carefully. They know the judgment of God. They know in their mind. They know in their heart. They know that they're under judgment. They know that they deserve death. They know that creation speaks to them. They know that their conscience speaks to them. And what do? They assist others in eternal destruction. How? By applauding their sin. Whenever you find a person, a society, or a nation where they encourage other people to get into the groove, to get into the sin, they have reached the pinnacle, the very top rung of the ladder in perversion. Those who set up a favorable atmosphere in our nation or in this world where sin is encouraged, that's what it's speaking of. Think of the pornography business and all the filth there. To approve, it says, to those who practice is worse, listen carefully, to approve of what they do, to applaud what they do, is worse than the deed themselves. This, loved one, listen to me now. I say this with such tenderness. I would rather personally be at home in my lazy boy this very minute. But the truth of the matter is this today. Here I am, only 45 years old, I tell you. I had to lighten it up a little bit, okay? This is a picture, the verses that I just read, of the nation that we now live in. I look at this with tears in my heart. Our nation, loved one, and many, many denominations have exalted themselves above the holy word of God, applauding what other people do, the sin, marrying men and men or women. In our world, in our society, I speak no evil of our president. I pray for him, but I have I can speak about his actions. You know, our president has proven, listen carefully now, to be the most pro-LGBT president in history. Not only that, he was the first president in history to endorse and encourage same-sex marriage. 8 years we've had of this administration. I want to give you a list, if you don't mind, of the things that are occurring. For example, his campaign platform slogan was change. I remember that. Change that we can believe in. And oh, what a change has been in only 8 years. I pray that number 8, you know, and is a number of a new beginning in biblical numerology. I hope it's a new beginning for this nation. I don't know that it's going to be, but I pray that it is. Listen to the changes. In just 8 years, the White House hosted the first ever lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender pride reception. Under this administration, here comes the changes. The Supreme Court's 5-4 ruling made same-sex marriage the law of the land in all 50 states and declared the Defense of Marriage Act literally unconstitutional. In these 8 years, the military has ended Don't Ask, Don't Tell. In these 8 years, the Pentagon made June Gay Pride Month for all the homosexuals, lesbians serving in the military. And if you want to really read something, read his presidential proclamation, June 2016. It's right there online. You can go to the White House and it has all of his proclamations. June 2016, it was LGBT Pride Month. June 24th, just this year, June 24th. The president designated Stonewall National Monument America's first lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender national park. You know the Stonewall Inn there at Greenwich Village, New York, in 1969 when the gay, you know, marched and all the rights and all that happened. And so to make a long story short, now it's a big, I think it's 6 or 7 acres. It's a national monument, a park, if you will. July 14th, you ready for this one? This Thursday, just Thursday, 2016, let me tell you what California did. California approves the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender history lessons for the classrooms. On Thursday, the California State Board of Education voted unanimously to interweave the history of the LGBT movement into the state's public school curriculum. In the second grade, California students will learn about families with two moms and two dads. 2 years later, while studying, they will learn how immigrants have shaped the Golden State, and they will hear how New York native Harvey Milk became the pioneer gay politician in San Francisco. Here's a quote from one of the directors of the school board. This allows all students to think critically and expansively about how the past relates to the present and the future roles that they can play in an inclusive and respectful society. Loved one, listen to me. I'm not trying to beat up America, and I love people. If I don't know what kind of sin they're in, I love them. I want them saved. I want them delivered. I want them set free. I'm not beating up gays. I'm not beating up transgender. I'm not beating up the, I'm telling you what the Bible says. Now listen to me. I'm not against it. I'm not against people, but I am against what God is against. God's word is true, loved one. And I sit here and I read this, and listen to me, to make law, to pass laws in our land, to make sin lawful, it doesn't add any dignity to it. It doesn't make it better. You can't change sin. Sin is sin. The Bible says in the Old Testament, which boy, no one wants to quote Leviticus 18:22, you shall not lie or have sexual relations with a male as with a woman. God says it's an abomination. It's something that's detestable to God. Now listen to me. America and many pastors and some I know no longer believe that verse. They no longer believe Leviticus 18:22 or the book here in Romans where we are right now. They no longer believe that. They think, they say, no, it's irrelevant. No, it's you have a prejudiced mindset, Bill. You need to go in and have diversity training. Well, no, my question is this. If you read through the Bible, let's just take Leviticus 18. That's all the horrible sexual sins, okay, that the other nations were doing, and God told the children of Israel, don't you dare do those. Stay away from those and all that. Is it wrong to have sexual relations with your father? Is it? Is it wrong to have sexual relations with your mother? Okay, that's in the Word of God, loved one. Is it wrong to have sexual relations with your sister? Yes, my God, is in Leviticus chapter 18. Well, my question is this. Has God changed his mind about what I just said? Has God changed his mind about adultery, fornication, lying, stealing? No. Then God hasn't changed his mind about Leviticus 18:22. Are you listening to me? God hasn't changed his mind. The Bible says, I am the Lord. I do not change. No. Listen, then this means that those sins of homosexuality, we go adultery, all, but we're talking about what's in our context this morning. And lesbianism and so forth is not only sin to God. God says it is an abomination. No matter how many laws that are passed in our country, it doesn't matter. No, listen. No matter how many gay churches now come into being, no matter how many pastors say, you know what, I believe that God says it's okay. I believe this is not what was meant. No, listen. It doesn't matter. It's still sin. And from a biblical standpoint, Christian, listen to me. Whenever you study out any of the great civilizations, Rome, for example, whenever you study out, you know, from the Bible, you know, from the biblical standpoint, the rise of these kinds of sins, homosexuality and lesbianism, whatever, transgender, all the rest of the stuff that we're trying to deal with in these 8 years that have just flooded in upon us. Listen to me. From a biblical standpoint, that is a sign that that nation, that society, is in the last stages of decline, just like it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. You read Genesis chapter 19, and you know about the horrible things that were going on there, and how the angels of God came into the town, and the men and the young men and the old men of Sodom, they were wanting to have relations with the angels, and the angels blinded them, remember? They were still groping for the door, the Bible says. Loved one, listen to me. I've said this before, and I believe it with all my heart. I believe that God blinds people. He lets them be blind to their sin before he destroys. That's the wrath of God. That's the destruction of God. Did Sodom and Gomorrah make it? Mm-mm. No, they did not make it at all. Now listen to me. America is confused. In these last 8 years, I have never, I don't know how to teach it. I don't know how to even share it. I look at what's happened in just our nation and the confusion. I mean, Bruce Jenner, for example, you know, Call Me Caitlin, the Vanity Fair piece. I'm not beating him up at all. I'm not condemning it. I mean, I don't know I can't imagine the pain, mental, and whatever he's in. I don't understand it. You know, I don't know. But I do know what happened just this week. You know, Will Smith, the actor, you know, Independence Day and so forth, whatever he was in, I don't know. But that was a good movie a long time ago. I liked it. His son is called Jaden Smith. Now, on July, just a few days ago this year, this is what he said. He said, Jaden Smith, on what he hopes to achieve by wearing skirts, he's wearing skirts now. He says, in 5 years when a boy goes to school wearing a skirt, he won't get beat up. My kids and the next generation of kids will think certain things are just normal. That's true. That's what people are saying today. There wasn't an uproar from the church when the Supreme Court gave a 5-4 ruling that same-sex marriage was now the constitutional right and our marriage was not. Are you hearing me? No, the church, they were upset for 10 minutes. They didn't pray. They didn't do any of those things. Loved one, listen to me. America's in trouble. Deuteronomy 22:5, a woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor a man wear a woman's garment, for all who do so, they are a disgusting thing or an abomination to the Lord. Now listen, that's not saying that a woman, this has nothing to do with a woman wearing a pair of slacks, okay? That's not what that means at all. It means to wear to deceive, to wear to pretend you're something else. Are you following me? That's what is happening in our world today, this cross-dressing and so forth. And I know that there'll be people listening on the radio, people that are listening live right now, they're probably already emailing me harsh words. And I love you and I understand, but listen to me. I'm not prejudiced. I'm not narrow-minded. I'm not a hate monger. But I'm telling you, when I look at our country, the Bible says in Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who attempt to destroy God's standard of right and wrong. Woe to those who call evil good, good evil, who put darkness for light, light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. When a man, a nation, believes they are wiser than God. I agree with our president. We do need change. And the change that we need is for America to have a revival, for the church to be brought out of the death that they're in. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:34 that righteousness exalts or raises to honor a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people or to any country. America, our government, our public schools do not believe the scripture that I just read to you. No, righteousness doesn't exalt a nation. They don't believe that. No. I don't even know that the American church believes that any longer. Why? Because we live in a nation that doesn't want really truth. They just want relief from whatever's bugging them. That is totally it. Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations, that there in the Hebrew is meaning the Gentiles, us, all the nations that forget God. I'm telling you that America has forgotten God. A nation. How do I know? You say, Bill, how many more babies do we need to abort? I'm telling you we have forgotten God. I'm telling you that we don't pray in our public schools. That's been gone for a long time. That's a nation that has forgotten God. A nation that is legalizing sins, passing laws to legalize sin, is a nation that has forgotten God. A nation that will applaud and approve of those who practice the sins that are in the Bible is a nation and a people who have forgotten God. Anytime you find a nation that now starts worshiping the creature instead of the creator, you have found a nation that has forgotten God. You are finding a nation where God says, I'm giving you up. All the things that are occurring in the book of Romans are happening in our country. Overflow. Rapidly, in 8 years, change after change after change. I look and I say, dear God, the Bible says in Psalm 81:8, let me read it to you. It says, hear, O my people, I will admonish you, I will instruct you. It says, O Israel, and I could say, O America. If you'll just listen to me, God says, there'll be no foreign God among you, nor will you worship any foreign God. Or we could say, don't worship the creature, worship the creator. He says here, he says, I'm the Lord your God. I'm the one who brought you out of the land of Egypt, meaning out of bondage. Listen to what God says. God says, open your mouth wide. In other words, pray. And God says, I'll fill it. I'll answer your prayer. In other words, but my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. Now listen to what the word of God says. So God says, I gave them over. Same word there that we're studying this morning. He gave his own people over. The ones that he loved, the apple of his eye. He says, I gave them over to what? Their own stubborn heart, to walk in their own counsels instead of the counsels of God. And listen to what God cries out. He says, oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. Listen to what would happen. I would soon subdue their enemies. I would turn my hand against their adversaries. Do we need that today more than ever? Yes. The haters of the Lord would pretend submission, but their fate would not endure. Listen now. He would have fed them with the finest wheat. Famine would be unknown. And with honey, oh, the sweet things of God. And from the rock, the hard things that we experience. Listen to what God says. I would have satisfied you. We are living in a time when the church is asleep. I'm with you, asleep. And you don't, you know how you know you're asleep? The way you know that you're asleep is when somebody wakes you up. And then you go, oh, what is it? We need to be awakened again, because the church is slumbering. Because this I know, the Bible shows us an awakened church. What does an awakened church do? An awakened church turns their nation, their city upside down. That's what we need. We must be awakened. We must have revival. Jesus is our only hope and our only answer. God hasn't given up on people. God hasn't given up on a nation. God hasn't given up on America, but America has given up on God. That's where we are. That's where we're standing right now. And unless things change now, this year, we're going to slide deeper into sin that we have ever seen, ever, in this nation. I read a story, and I know I've already gone long, but it's not my fault. What time's the next service? Tomorrow. That was a word from God. I read a story about this man who wanted to climb a huge high mountain. And he started out at night climbing the ropes and how you go up and all of that. I don't remember how high he got, but the night was as dark as it could get. There was some kind of cloud cover that moved in. You couldn't see the stars. You had no bearing of where you were. You were on the rocks, but you could see absolutely nothing because of how dense or cloudy or whatever it was, the darkness of that night. All of a sudden, he slipped, and he fell all the way from where he was. And as he was going down, he started thinking about his life flashing before him. And then all of a sudden, the rope that was around his waist cinched him up, and he was dangling in midair, just dangling in the darkness. Couldn't see anything. And he cried out. He says, oh, God, if you're there, save me. Save me, God. Dangling there in the darkness. That's a picture of our nation. That's a picture of this man just dangling there. Save me, God. Help me, God. And then a voice came and said, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Do you believe I can really save you? He said, yes, I believe you can save me. Then God spoke from heaven and he said, take out your knife and cut the rope. And there in the darkness, not knowing where he was, what was underneath him, the cold of the night air coming in, the knife in his hand upon the rope, the next day, the rescue teams found him frozen to death, knife in hand, dangling from the rope, which was only 10 feet from the ground. There's the condition today. We're dangling, and we're either going to cut the rope and say, God, we trust in you, or we're going to be dangling until Jesus comes. If you don't know Christ, I'm telling you, you should run to him. You should run to him and ask him to be the Lord of your life. Father, we lift up this nation that has descended into darkness, that has lost its bearings and lost its moral compass. We lift up the church that is asleep, which includes this church, oh God. We pray for the miracle of revival in all of our lives and the life of every Christian that lives in this nation. And that we are awakened, oh God, and we turn our nation right side up again. We turn it where it really is, in God we trust. Oh Lord, help us. God, you see our nation has been given over. You've given it over, Lord. Our enemies are everywhere. Help us. Revive us, oh, one more time before the rapture, Lord. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says, let's stand to our feet this morning.
Well, we'll be back tomorrow with another message from Pastor Bill's study in the New Testament Epistle of Romans, and we encourage you to join us again. This is Brian Whitaker. For Pastor Bill, thank you for listening to the broadcast, and until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.